Welcome to the Retirement Risk Show, the best retirement interviews and advice with Dave Hall. Learn strategies to help you reduce and even eliminate the risks facing your retirement.
Hello, welcome to the show. My name is Dave Hall. I am your host. Here we are back again talking about retirement, talking about that happiest time of your life where you have the freedom to do all of those things you've always wanted to do, whether it's traveling, whether it's seeing the grandkids, whether it's shopping, playing pickleball, whatever the case may be for you. Hopefully it's a period of time that you get to enjoy, that you get to have the freedom to be able to live your life as you choose to live it. In order to do that, it's going to require some finances, which is why we're here, to help you better navigate the financial risks that you will face in retirement. To learn more about what we do, go to our website, retirementriskadvisors.com. Here you'll get access to all of our planning tools, our webinars, our meeting links, whatever the case may be that you're looking for to help you, you're going to be able to find it there. Today, we're going to be talking about one of the top 10 financial risks facing your retirement. It is number 9, which is elder financial abuse, which is the financial exploitation of an individual over the age of 60. It's something that I've added into my teachings over the last couple of years. It's something that we didn't include originally, but the reason we did so was because we're seeing bigger and bigger problems in this area. And it really started during the COVID period of time. All of a sudden, you had a situation where individuals who were relying upon family members or advisors to help them make decisions no longer were accessible many times. And so people were in a situation where it opened the internet and the susceptibility to getting drawn in to scams that were going on during that period of time. And we saw a big surge during the COVID years in scams against the elderly. And because of the success that the scammers had during this period of time, we continue to see large increases in the number of people that are being impacted by various scams that are out there. What I thought we would do today, though, is spend a lot of our time going through an article that was produced in the AARP Bulletin for April of 2024. And the article's called Fraud 2024, It's Never Been More Pervasive, What to Know and How to Fight Back. They share 6 main frauds that are going on, other main scams that are happening that I thought it would be nice for you to understand. If you don't get the AARP magazine or you don't have access to it online, thought it might be fun to go through these because they are changing. Some of these things are changing substantially from what we were experiencing previously. And a lot of that is because technology is getting better. Artificial intelligence is allowing scammers to be in a position to where they can do things they used to not be able to do. Plus, they're getting smarter. As you look at many of these organizations and individuals that are out there trying to steal the money of retirees, they're getting better at it because they've had more experience, more time. They've seen some of the challenges, the problems where they've been unsuccessful, and they've worked workarounds to help them get access to the retirees and the money that they're trying to get access to. And one of the challenges is, as we get into those retirement years, for many of us, it's the period of time where we have the most amount of money we've ever had. We're saving up for 20, 30, 40 years of self-imposed unemployment. So we need to have substantial assets to be able to do that. We may be in a situation where we've got some of the rough edges worked off. We're a little kinder than we used to be and want to be more trusting of other individuals. And for some, it's a time of great loneliness. You've gotten to a point where maybe your whole working career, you were in an office or an environment where you were around people all the time, and now you're home, and all of a sudden those people aren't there every day. And so it's maybe just you or you and a spouse, or maybe your spouse has passed on if you're married and they've already passed away. So now all of a sudden becomes this sheer period of loneliness that can become very challenging as well. So there are a number of things that we can do to help ourselves. One of them I would tell you is to make sure you're staying connected with other individuals, but also being very careful that you're not getting connected with individuals who are trying to take advantage of you in the sense of getting it locked into one person that's all of a sudden starting to ask for substantial amounts of money or trying to get personal information that appears that they may be trying to take advantage of you rather than helping you. Let's go ahead and go through the 6 items that they talk about, and then we'll talk about some strategies as well, some of those coming from this magazine also. The first one is what is now called check cooking. We all remember when they did the whitewashing of checks, where someone would take one of your checks, they would whitewash everything out as far as who the payee was to, and then they would put their name in there, making the check look like it was the original check. And many of the people who were doing this were very good at it, made a lot of money being able to take a check that was going to XYZ company or someone else, put their name on it, have it deposited into their account, and then they got access to all of those funds. What they're doing now with the check cooking is they're taking images of your check and recreating a whole new check. So it's not just trying to whitewash out names and information that was put on the check originally. It's taking the layout of the whole check, creating another one that looks exactly like the check that you produced, only using artificial intelligence and technology. They're able to then put the name on the check of someone else with what appears to be your actual signature for either that amount or a new amount, and then passing that through to banks as a viable check, which if it gets processed, obviously, going to allow them to get access to the money that the check is for. So what can we do to help ourselves here? We really need to be very careful in the checks that we're writing. In fact, for most situations, we probably shouldn't even be writing a check anymore. But if you are, make sure that that check's getting dropped off at either the location of the person that you're paying, or if it's got to go into the mail, it's getting dropped off at the post office and not outside in your outside mailbox. Many times this is what people will do for convenience, put the check out in the mailbox, lift the flag up. Well, that tells anyone that's driving by that there's something in that mailbox that needs to go somewhere else, and it could potentially be a check. And as a result, for those who are looking out there trying to find ways to take advantage of you, this becomes a big red flag, no pun intended, big red flag towards them being able to take advantage of those checks. So that's the first one. Understand, technology has changed things substantially. So we've got to be more diligent of making sure we keep track of the checks that we're writing. Again, do all we can to limit those checks. Try to do electronic payments, whether it be through a credit card where you've got the fraud protection, or you know, some other system where you know that that money's going to end up in the hands of the person that you're trying to send that money to. The next one, number two, is what is called voice printing. This one is quite scary. I've talked a lot about it in many of my webinars and some of the podcasts we've had previously. This is where they're using artificial intelligence to reduplicate your voice. So someone like myself, who does a lot of webinars, a lot of podcasts, it would be very easy for someone to take artificial intelligence and recreate my voice. Now, if you're not someone who's out in the public like I am every day, understand it's not just these type of shows where they could be getting that information, but it could be as simple as a voicemail that all of a sudden they're going and leaving a message on your phone. Think, I didn't understand, know who that person was, and to understand what they were calling for. And so I let it go to my voicemail. They're then taking that voicemail message and using it to recreate your voice so that they can call financial institutions or other people with a goal of making them think that it's you, and then being able to get access to the various funds that you have available. So something that we've got to be careful with. The main recommendation I would tell most people here is to not even set up your voicemail. There really, for most people, doesn't necessarily need to be a voice on that other end. If you're someone who knows who's calling you, you've got family and friends, they understand that it's not set up. I know my son, his voice mailbox is this way, that if I call him, I know that it's going to say it's not set up. In fact, oftentimes it doesn't even allow you to leave a message, which in this day and age becomes very easy for many people to then just text you. So an area we've got to be careful with. I think over the next 4, 5, 10 years, we're going to see substantial increases in this area because AI is getting so good at duplicating not only our voice, but sometimes our images, other things, that it is something that we've got to continually stay very diligent about. Number three is celebrity impersonations. If you remember back during the COVID period, we had a lot of celebrities that couldn't make a lot of money doing other things because the TV shows had been shut down, the movies had been shut down, whatever the case was, where many of them were making the money that they used to make. And so many of them were offering services like having a happy birthday song. In fact, there's still companies that do it now, but it really highlighted during that period of time where you could get one of these celebrities to be able to sing a song or wish you a birthday wish or a friend a birthday wish or whatever the case may be, that they would be reaching out to offer various services. Well, understand, if you're reaching out to them, it's a whole different story than if they're reaching out to you. I had this happen to one of my clients where they thought they were going into a relationship with a country music artist that most of us would know. If I were to give you their name, I'm not going to do it here on the show, but if I were to tell you their name, you would know who that is. and she started going back and forth through texting with this individual. Sooner or later, there got some romantic feelings going on there, which I found very interesting since he was married, and she was single, but still this is going on. And all of a sudden, it got to a point where in their chat, this individual tells her, my client, that he is in need of funds, that he's got his funds all locked up due to a lawsuit, which at the time there was a legitimate lawsuit going on with him and some other individual, that he had all of his money locked up. He couldn't release his next album, and therefore he was needing to borrow money from individuals who could help him get that album released. For doing so, he was willing to offer a 24% rate of return. Well, she was in her 50s. She was way behind on her retirement savings. She was in her late 50s, didn't have the money that she needed to get to where she needed to be in her retirement. So he thought, this is my perfect opportunity. I'm going to borrow him some money so I can get that high interest rate so I can better establish my retirement. Not realizing through the process that this was not him. She ends up transferring $200,000 to him before I ever find out. And when I do, I talk to her and said, what in the world is going on? How come you're sending this money to this individual? There's no way that he is broke. And number two, he's married. So I'm not quite sure why we're even having this conversation. But I said, have you ever even talked to this individual? Which she said, yes, I have. I've got a voicemail. We haven't actually talked, but I have a voicemail. And so she lets me listen to this voicemail. It's only 3 or 4 seconds. It doesn't even sound like him. I'm not sure where she's got such bad cognitive dissonance that even when she gets this voicemail, she thinks for some reason that this is who it is. It was horrible. It was not even close to what his voice would sound like. I've heard it many times on television and other places. Well, then she continues on with her cognitive dissonance and sends another $50,000 after I found out. And now she spent another $50,000 trying to get the money back. She finally realized that she was involved in a scam. You've got to be very careful. Some celebrity that doesn't know you, that would have no reason to reach out to you, is reaching out. Please know you don't need to get involved in that relationship. It's not going to be them. Go ahead and hang up the phone. Don't get involved. They send you an email, whatever the case may be. It's someone that's trying to build trust with you so they can then get information to allow them into your lives to where then they can take advantage of you financially or for whatever other purposes they may have as they're going through this process. So be very careful there. Most of us, regular people, are not going to get reached out to at any time by celebrities to do things for them or to have them in our lives in any way. They've got their own group of friends, just like we should have our own group of friends and family that we trust, that we spend time with, that we're able to enjoy our lives with. Number four is the multi-stage grandparent scam. So this has been around a long time. I thought it had gone away. And then I was talking in one of my webinars not too long ago where someone brought up the fact that it was still out there. And then as I talked to other people, realized that it's still alive and well. And it's not just the original grandparent scam that we had in the past. And let me explain what that was. That was where little Johnny's off to college or somewhere where supposedly where he's away from mom and dad. He's not at home during that period of time. And then a phone call is placed to grandma and grandpa saying, hey, I got put in jail. I had an accident. Some major thing happens, but they aren't able to get a hold of mom and dad, or they don't want to tell mom and dad. It's something that would be very embarrassing to them. And are asking grandma and grandpa to be able to send money to help solve the issue, to be able to get the funds there that are able to help them to solve this issue that they're dealing with. And grandma and grandpa, thinking that it's little Johnny, want to help him out as best they can. And so money gets wired, but it's not going to little Johnny, it's going to little scammer. So what's happening now as this is expanding out is it's not just the older individual or someone else trying to pretend that they're your grandchild. They're using AI to be able to do it, as well as staffing rooms full of young people that are making these calls all the time that really sound like your grandchild. So it becomes very easy to believe that it easily could be them. And using technology and AI, we're seeing all of these things happen out there. So we've got to be very careful as we look at that scam as well. Realize that as we're aging, that if that happens, what you want to do is immediately, before you do anything, that you reach back out to their cell phone number, because obviously it's not going to be coming off of their cell phone number if this happens, which is also very important to make sure that you have in your phone the names of those people who would typically call you. If you've got grandchildren, great-grandchildren, cousins, uncles, and nephews, whatever the case may be, that you would have an interest in making sure if there was a problem you would want to help, that they're in your phone under their name, so that if a call comes in, you would know that it's them. If a call comes from another number, want to immediately confirm that it is a legitimate call by reaching back out to them. You would also want to call the parents, whatever the case may be, but be very careful because this is getting replayed again and again and again, as from what I'm seeing with the webinars I'm teaching out there. Number five, delayed action sweepstakes scam. Understand there are very few companies anymore that are even doing any type of sweepstakes. They realize that it's really an area and a problem where they're, one, not making the money so much themselves anymore. They used to gather a bunch of information on people, use that to sell to other marketing agencies, and that's how they paid for their sweepstake price. Well, there's very few of them left, but please know if one's reaching out to you to try to gather information before they can pay you off, don't give them any information. This is another area that you've got to be very careful with, that someone that's giving you free money that is not maybe even something that you signed up for. That's the other interesting one here. You've had individuals get taken advantage of that didn't even sign up for a given sweepstakes, and yet they're the winner of the sweepstakes, and they don't put two and two together that there's no way I could be the winner if I didn't sign up. But even for those that do sign into these things, you've got to make sure you're verifying, and any legitimate organization you'd be able to call them and confirm exactly what's going on. So if someone's reaching out to you saying, hey, we've got a sweepstakes, but in order to be able to deposit the money into your account, we need to be able to get access to your account. We've got to have the bank information. We've got to have your home address. We've got to have your phone numbers, all these things, which obviously they already got the phone number because they're calling you, but they need all this personal information. You do not want to give them the personal information. Again, anything that sounds too good to be true, you need to make sure you're verifying. And the best thing with any of this is just do not answer the phone if you don't know who it is. We have so many calls coming in now. We all have some type of voice recording machine on our phones anymore. We've also got text messaging that can happen and be done, that if someone's reaching out to you that you don't recognize that number, and it's not just your own family members you should have numbers for. You should have numbers for your doctors and any other specialists or professionals you have in your life. You want to make sure that as those people call, that you're able to answer those calls and be able to work with them. But don't think that if someone's telling you you won millions of dollars, that that's true without making sure you verify before you're giving any type of information personally to be able to get access to that. Because if you do, what you're going to find is you're going to end up losing money out of your account. And sometimes what they do is take very small amounts. So they get the information, maybe they're, you know, going over a period of time saying, it's going to still take us a couple of months. We've had some issues with processing the money, whatever it is. And during that time, they're hitting your bank account with small amounts. Maybe it's $10 or $100 or something of that nature, just to see if you're noticing that the money's coming out. And if you don't, then they're going to start hitting it for larger amounts, trying to get as much as they possibly can out of the account. So it's not something that just happens overnight. Many of these, even the one where my client got caught in with what she thought was a celebrity, it took months, and they're willing to spend that time. Imagine if you're getting $200,000, which turned into $250,000 out of someone, you can spend a lot of months and a lot of time trying to take advantage of that individual. If you can just capture one every few months, it's willing to give you that amount of money. And for many of these organizations, it's far more than just one person. They've got hundreds of people that are sending them money, allowing them to continue to build these scams and be able to build networks that allow them to expand the scams that they're doing. The last one here is the Paris Olympic scam. Anytime we have Olympics, you've got to remember that this is a time for scammers to come out of the woodwork. And there's a couple of issues here. Number one, be very careful if you are going to Paris, that you make sure you're getting your tickets from a reliable source. This is another issue that we always see around the Olympic time period, where people go online, they pay thousands of dollars for their tickets, they get them off of what they think is some reputable site. They then get to the Olympics only to find out that they don't have tickets at all. They spent the airfare costs, the hotel costs, all these other things, and don't even have tickets to get into the Olympics like they thought they were going to be able to do. But the other big one is where you get over there if you are going to the Olympics, or even if you aren't, and someone may think you got over there and went, where all of a sudden these emails or phone calls start going out saying, hey, I'm over in Paris. My wallet got stolen. I don't have any money left. Can you Venmo me some money? Can you do anything to help so that I can get myself back home, so I can take care of the various costs I have here in Paris? Well, if many of us were to get that from a legitimate family member and we knew the wallet was actually stolen, we would be willing to send money to get them back home, or friends or loved ones, whoever it may be. But yet in this situation, it's not the individual themselves. So if you get one of these with the Paris Olympics coming up, make sure that you're verifying that it is a family member that's end up stuck. And again, use phone numbers, use other forms, emails, whatever the case may be, to try to verify what's going on. Because yes, there are wallets that get stolen when there are Olympics. There are a lot of things that are going to get stolen because scammers realize as well there that people are so involved in a new area, the scenery, everything's going on, that it's a great way to be able to take assets from people, whatever it may be, that we're not high alert, we're not paying as much attention to our surroundings as we often other times would, where we're in an area that we're familiar with and know what's happening around us. So we do need to be very cautious, no matter whether you're going to the Olympics, whether you think someone that you know went to the Olympics, or whether you don't know that someone you know went to the Olympics and you're getting information saying that you should be doing something different there. So those are the top six items that I wanted to cover today. I think very important as we look at it that we keep abreast of these. And I will tell you, if you're at an age where you can get the AARP membership, I'm not here to promote them per se, but I will tell you that from their bulletin and a lot of the information that I get, it's been very helpful to just better understand. They do have a fraud hotline where individuals can call and reach out. I have mentioned many times on the show, Dr. Peter Lichtenberg, he owns Older Adult Nest Egg, a good friend of mine that has written 7 or 8 books on the topic of elder abuse, talks about it extensively through his various websites that he has available. Once you get into Older Adult Nest Egg, there are some other sites you'd be able to get to get some help if you ended up having elder abuse happen to you. But understand that AARP does offer a lot of resources to help seniors. Now, there's a lot of marketing that comes with that. There's a lot of advertisements that'll come to your home and other things because of that. But there is a lot of good content out there that can help you. Just a couple of key takeaways. This also, most of these came out of this magazine as well. Number one that I'd like to talk about here is just making sure you sign out of your financial apps. If you're going into those, also be very careful. You should not be going into financial apps when you're away from home using public networks, because those public networks, individuals can get access to the information that you put through there. So make sure that you're actually signing out. Another one is to make sure you're updating passwords on a regular basis. Now, what I find interesting about this, and I've talked about a little bit lately, is we used to believe that the best place we could save this information is on the internet or online somewhere. And there are some secure places. LastPass was one of them. Unfortunately, they just got hacked not too long ago. But what we're finding is one of the best places you can save this information is with pen and paper at home. Now, you do need to have a secure place you can put this information, but most people that are coming into your home to steal stuff are not the same people that are trying to enter to your bank account and steal stuff from your online activity. They're a completely different group of people. And so what they're proving is that your home may be the safest place to be able to save the various passwords. Well, if you're changing them like you should on a regular basis, these passwords are going to change consistently. It's going to be very hard for you to remember all of these. And if you're like me, I've got dozens of sites I have to go into on a monthly basis, very hard to keep up with. So you need some type of log to be able to take care of these things. That's one of the other takeaways that they have here. And a couple of last ones here is just to be very skeptical. Anytime anyone's calling, again, my best recommendation, if you don't know who it is, have them leave a message or send you a text. If you're not sure it is, don't answer the phone. And then if you are part of AARP, they do have fraud resources to be able to help you. Folks, that is our show for today. I did want to let you know that we will be making changes to our upcoming show. We're going to start trying to take these shows a little bit longer and do them a little less frequently. So our plan now is to do a bi-weekly show where we'll talk about various risks. We'll have a show where I come on and I talk pretty consistently about updated items that we need to know, something like this, where we've got articles coming out or changes in the law that we need to understand as it relates to our retirement. We'll have shows with other people, you know, whether it's Brian Britt, my partner there, whether it's other third-party individuals that are experts we have coming in. And then we will do a Social Security show once a month as well. So all of these will mix in every 2 weeks. Should be a great thing. Most of them will go about 30 minutes now as we look forward to where we're at. Some of them will be a little less. Some of them may be a little bit more, but it will be on a bi-weekly schedule. So if you've been a longtime listener, we appreciate the loyalty. We appreciate your commitment to us. But we do want you to understand that because of our own schedules and our desire to make sure we get good content out there that's not repetitive. We're really trying to break these into bi-weekly podcasts so that we can get you the most updated information that is available. My name's Dave Fall. If you'd like to learn more about what you can do to get safely through retirement, go to retirementriskadvisors.com. Look forward to seeing each of you again next week, where we'll break down another topic that will affect your retirement.
Hey, if you liked what you heard and you want more retirement risk education, or you're interested in signing up for any of our many retirement-focused webinars, make sure you check out our website at retirementriskadvisors.com. We have a lot of great resources, tools, and information on retirement available to you right at your fingertips. And if you're on social media, you can find us at Retirement Risk Advisors on Instagram and Facebook. This brings us to the end of another episode of the Retirement Risk Show with our host and retirement risk expert, Dave Hall. We here at RRA don't just get you to retirement, we get you safely through retirement. Thanks again for listening, and we will be back with you again soon. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Wealth Advisors, LLC, BWA, a registered investment advisor and an affiliate of Brookstone Capital Management, LLC. BWA and Retirement Risk Advisors are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BWA, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. The opinions expressed by Dave Hall and guests on this show are their own and do not reflect the opinions of this radio station. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although it should not be relied upon as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Any strategies mentioned may not be suitable for everyone. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on any information mentioned, please consult with a qualified tax or investment advisor to determine if it is suitable for your specific situation. This program is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject covered. Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interests of our clients and to make full disclosure of any conflicts of interest, if any exist. Please refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A, Item 4, for additional information. Dave Hall and Retirement Risk Advisors are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency. Index or fixed annuities are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to caps, restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer. Please refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A Item 4, for additional information. The notes involve risks not associated with an investment in ordinary debt securities. The securities are not bank deposits and are not insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation or any other governmental agency, nor are they obligations of or guaranteed by a bank. The securities will not be listed on any securities exchange, and secondary trading may be limited. Therefore, there may be little or no secondary market for the securities. Accordingly, you should be willing to hold your securities to maturity. The securities are subject to the credit risk of the issuing bank, and any actual or anticipated changes to its credit ratings or credit spreads may adversely affect the market value of the securities.